It is week six of the 2023 college football season. This is the We Hate Your Team podcast, a proud member of the VSN Collegiate Network. I'm Kelly Ford, and with me, as always, is my co-host and my friend, Zach King. Kinger, week six is here. That means we're almost halfway through this college football season. Yikes, dude. How are we doing this week?
Feeling great, and it is pretty crazy to think about, Kelly, that we already are at week six. We've been great. Here we are. We're October football, man. Football, man. We're in the fall here. This is the first weekend where we're going to get some crisp weather. Leaves are starting to change. This is my favorite time of year. You got to love the October games with this weather changing, and we're blessed with another real good slate this weekend, so looking forward to it.
King, you hit it. The calendar turns to October. It gets real. The weather gets cold. I'm with you. I love it. I've got the 5 TV set up in the basement. Got some windows down here. Open those babies up.
Oh, yeah.
Get the cool air coming.
Get the feels in there, yeah.
Throw a sweatshirt on. Crack open the beer. Like, yes, dude. Fall, that's the time for football. I love it. October is also king when I kind of, it's just unofficial, but I kind of say, all right, I'm making the transition from putting the emphasis on the power ratings to the resume rankings. Teams have enough now behind them that they've built up what I would say are meaty enough resumes to have an informed conversation. Yeah, some teams have still only played four games, so they still have, you know, two-thirds of their season to go. Other teams like Notre Dame have played six games. They are halfway done. So depending on when your off week or weeks are, it kind of changes. But I think of October as cool weather. The heart of conference season is well underway, and the conversation transitions from rating to ranking. So I'm right there with you, King. It's going to be great. We have a lot of really big games on the slate, King, including one game that I'm incredibly excited about. It could be the game of the year. It has all the makings for it. So it is more than appropriate, King, that our guest this week, who I'm really excited to have on, someone I've been following on Twitter, on X, for a long time now. Actually, we've been following each other for so long. It was Twitter for years before it changed to X. That's how long this has been. He is a college football lover. He is a data viz enthusiast. He is a self-proclaimed amateur football nerd. I think you can drop the amateur. I think he's a football nerd. He is an OU grad. And when I say OU, I'm not talking Ohio University, as some of my friends think, since I went to grad school there. I'm talking the real OU. No offense, Bobcats. It is Oklahoma. Of course, I am talking about Nate Monzo. You know him on Twitter as @CFBNate. Nate, welcome to the show, man.
Kelly, Zach, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We are so excited to have you, Nate. I remember we were in each other's DMs over a year ago now, and I was saying, hey, man, you're on the list, the guest list. We're going to get you on We Hate Your Team. We can't wait. It couldn't have worked out any better. Some might say I even planned it to have you as the guest of Red River Shootout Week. Nate, before we dive into that great game and a couple others on the slate, just take a minute. Tell our listeners, tell Zach and I more about yourself, your work in the college football space, the data viz that you do, the composite ratings that you do that I absolutely love every single week. You're an OU fan. How did that start? Where did that stem from? Just take us away, all things Nate Monzo in college football. The floor is yours.
Yeah, thanks. I guess starting at the beginning. So I am Sooner born, Sooner bred. I grew up in Oklahoma, born and raised in the Tulsa, Oklahoma area. Grew up playing football, loving football. Really, like, when I got to OU, my very first game at OU as a freshman is when I absolutely fell in love with it. I loved it up already by the time I got there, but that very first game, it was against, like, Bowling Green, right? So not even anybody crazy or not a great game, but just the pageantry, the spectacle of it, the band, all of it, I fell in love. So I've been hooked ever since. And then I guess the data viz and the Twitter account started back in 2019. I had learned R, the programming language R, for a job that I was doing, and I ended up leaving that job. And I knew that, just like Steve Carell says in 40-Year-Old Virgin, right, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. I knew if I didn't keep practicing the R skills, I would lose them probably forever. So I took the opportunity to try to take those skills that I had learned and try to apply it to some of my, like, my favorite hobby, right? It's college football. So that's where the Twitter account was born. And it's just been growing ever since then. It's been, it's gotten to be, you know, much bigger than I ever thought it would, much bigger than I ever really intended it to be. But it's been a lot of fun.
Well, that's what happens when you put out great work like you do. Again, for those listening that aren't familiar with Nate and his work, you can find him on X at CFB Nate. Simple as that, at CFB Nate. He's doing all kinds of cool stuff, cool data viz in ARP every single week. Nate, the thing that I think I am most drawn to every single week, and you do a great job of tagging those whose power ratings you use, I am so grateful to be incorporated in your composite ratings that you do every single week. Tell our listeners a little bit more about the composite ratings. You know, who all is in there? What prompted you to do it? How does it work? How do you mash these things together? And then what are some of the, you know, interesting trends that you have found? You've been doing it for a couple of years now, at least, or a year at least. What are some of the interesting trends that you found here in 2023 compared to any previous years that maybe you've done the composite ratings?
Yep. So you guys had Brian Fermo on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, right?
And, yes, sir.
Kind of similar story to you, Kelly, as far as I do consider him the godfather, right? Just like you called him, him and Bill Connolly. I've been following their work for years, going back to when I was in college. And it was always interesting to me to compare the ratings, right? And to just see, you know, what does one system say versus what does another system say, especially like as an OU fan, which one likes OU better, right? That's the system that I'm favoring for the season or for the time period, for the week. But as I've gotten involved in the Twitter community, right, finding more and more people who like you, Kelly, who got their own rating systems and got other interesting pieces of the puzzle, right? If we're all just trying to look and compare and see, you know, who really is the best team in the country when everybody's playing such different schedules and things like that. So I just want to take an attempt to put them all together in one view and say, oh, let's see what are all the ratings systems saying about these different teams? Where do they agree? Where do they disagree? I just find it incredibly interesting. So that's where that idea was born. And then it seemed to catch on, it's gotten a lot of interest. So I keep doing it now. That's the primary thing that I'm putting out every week is just aggregating all those rating systems, trying to put them in a like a standard setting. So presenting them in points, just like you do, Kelly. And then seeing how they compare and seeing how they contrast.
I love it, Nate. It's so cool to see every single week. You drop them on Tuesdays. I'm always excited to see who is where in the composite. For those listening and don't know, Nate's composite has Ohio State number one, Michigan number two, Oregon number three, Texas number four, Georgia number five. And you know he's not a homer because he has Oklahoma at number six, even though some out there, like myself, actually have Oklahoma power rated number two. King, I've dominated the conversation too much. I want to let you get in here. I'm sure you've got some questions for Nate. So hop on in, King, and hit Nate with what you got.
No, I was happy to step aside there for a second and let the data guys have a conversation. And for all the listeners out there, definitely go check out Nate's Twitter page, X page. He really does do a great job putting those visuals in easy to view, easy to understand. And as he mentioned, he's really got a composite of some of the best rating systems out there. So very valuable information, and it's really a pleasure to look at. So I'm actually going to shift the conversation, Nate, to more so Oklahoma. So I got two questions that I'm interested in. Number one, if you have a favorite memory of the Red River Shootout, we're going to dive into this game a little bit this weekend. But then secondarily, I want to hear what is the most surprising thing to you about this Oklahoma team this year? We know about their struggles last year, but what would you say has been the biggest difference maker for their success thus far this year?
Yeah, favorite memory, that's a great question. I think it would be going back to those early 2000s just beatdowns from OU against Texas, right? Like there were two or three years there where it was just not a contest. So I think like that's probably the most fun, most enjoyable thing that can happen to you as a college football fan is to see you come out against your rival and just absolutely dominate them, like crush their spirits. So I think those would be probably my favorite memories. Fortunately, that's, you know, getting close to 20 years ago now.
But you don't got one. You got a few of them, right? Those couple of years that they really dominated that game.
Exactly. Exactly. There was a few years there where it was absolute dominance. I think as far, remind me what your second question was. Sorry.
I was just asking you, what is the most surprising thing to you about this Oklahoma team this year?
Yeah, I think, it's a good question. I think, definitely was expecting to see a step forward from Brent Venables in year two, right? I was curious to see what types of adjustments he would make just in terms of how he was leading the team. So I think you saw all sorts of stuff from the way they were, how physical they were during fall practice, right? So they didn't run out of steam during the year like they did last year. The use of tempo. Last year, the tempo was fast as you can be every single play, every single snap, no matter the situation. Whereas now they're incorporating tempo as a tool versus a complete lifestyle. So just the little tweaks that Brent Venables has made in terms of how he handles the team, I think I've been pleased to see. And definitely just the step forward on defense, right? Much cleaner on defense overall.
Well, I will admit, Nate, I was wrong about the Oklahoma Sooners this year. I wasn't quite sure. I admit, looking back, it really wasn't it really wasn't a wise decision for me to doubt Venables with his ties to Oklahoma, his defensive mind. And what I saw last year, it obviously was not the start to his tenure that they were looking for. So I actually picked Oklahoma as my overachieving team or my overrated team in the Big 12 this year. They're right on way to making me look pretty dumb. So I've been very impressed with the Sooners, and I'm looking forward to breaking down this game tonight even further.
Yeah, Nate, I'm right there with you on some of the things that have impressed me about Oklahoma. I'll save those comments for the conversation that we're going to have about this game. Nate, I really just have, I think, one more question for you before we get to it, because I mean, I'm itching at it now. You're talking about these rivalry. I'm going back. I'm looking right now at some of the recent games that have been played. Of course, we're not even going to talk about last year with you, Nate. We all know what happened. We're going to leave that alone. You don't need us to tell you. But I mean, Oklahoma won four straight before that. And you know what? Six out of seven prior to last year. You've got the Big 12 championship game back in the 2018 season, which was just awesome there in Arlington from an Oklahoma perspective, especially. One game that stands out to me, Nate, and I really don't know why, and it's probably not a good memory for you. I just like have a distinct memory of the 2008 game. And I'm looking back, it looks like both teams were top five coming in. Maybe that's why I was
45-35, right?
See, I don't even have to tell you. You know exactly what it is right off the top. I was in high school at the time, so you know it's probably when you're maybe the peak of your college ball fandom or your hobby fandom before, you know, your life kind of takes a different step in college, where actually, Zach, I would argue that our fandom just continued to grow as we got to know each other in college and hang out watching college ball Saturdays. But that 2008 game just stands out to me. I don't know why. It's not like my favorite game in the rivalry by any means, but that's one that's just always stuck with me. But Oklahoma has certainly had their fair share. If you go back to 2000, there is a lot more red than burnt orange on the stat sheet here for who wins these games. So it is one of the best rivalries in college football for me. There's really only there's really only two games that I like to see in the regular season at a neutral site. One of them is Army-Navy, and that's the very end of the regular season, has a standalone week, all of that. So it's almost like that's a separate game. The only other one that I actually really like being neutral site is Texas-Oklahoma. Georgia and Florida fans.
I was going to ask you, what was the reasoning on why you're leaving that out?
So Georgia and Florida fans, and this is why I don't push it, because Georgia and Florida fans, they absolutely love the fact that their game is neutral site. World's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville every year. They love it. Okay, who am I to come in as an outsider and mess up one of their traditions, one of their favorite things about college football? To me, though, that game, you put it in Athens, you put it in Gainesville every other year, I would be so excited about that. There's something about Texas-Oklahoma being at the Cotton Bowl, which to me is a more historic college football venue than where the Jacksonville Jaguars play in Jacksonville. There's something more about being at the Texas State Fair. I don't know why. That resonates with me. It's really one of the only games that I absolutely love. Nate, I said I had one more question, then I spent 5 minutes going down a rabbit hole because that's how excited I am to discuss this game. What do you, Nate, call this game, because this game over the years has taken many different names, and I understand some of the reasons why it's changed. If you said, hey, Texas, Oklahoma, or sorry, in your case, Oklahoma, Texas, I call it this. What is that for you, Nate? Because I have an opinion, and King, I want to get yours, but we got to hear it straight from Nate first.
I mean, I think Red River Shootout is what comes to my mind. Boom! Automatically, right? Just from childhood. That's what we grew up with. So that's still what comes to mind. Even Red River Rivalry is also just like a tongue twister, right? That's hard to say. So Shootout is what I
said. What did they officially, so I'm a Shootout guy as well. What did they officially try to change the name to?
Oh, I think it's Showdown now.
I think it's Showdown now. Not Rivalry, right? Yeah, yeah.
It was Red River Rivalry for a minute. Now it's Red River Showdown. Okay, Nate, I love you said that, King. I love that you're on board. This to me is the Red River Shootout. If for no other reason, then yes, it's what we grew up with. Yes, it's what resonates. But guys, you can, within the logo of Red River Shootout, you can make the OU from Shootout in Red River. You can make that V into the Longhorn. Like, just what you can do from a graphic standpoint in that name, incorporating the logos, that to me ends the debate, because I absolutely love what that looks like. So, Nate, thank you. The Oklahoma, Texas. I'm going to call it Oklahoma, Texas, since we have Nate on here. I don't know why I just default the other way. But Oklahoma, Texas game is the Red River Shootout. Guys, that's the biggest game of the week. It's potentially the biggest game of the year. King, what do Texas and Oklahoma fans need before they go to this game? Like, you can't just go in there with nothing. Like, help them out. What do they need here before they prepare for the Red River Shootout, one of the best games of 2023?
No doubt. You got to go into this game rocking something new, rocking something fresh and fly. And where you're going to go get that is Home Field Apparel. That's right. Premium, vintage, quality college apparel. First-time buyers get 15% off with code VARIETYSPORTS. With a game of this magnitude, first time since 2008 that both teams are 5-0, go get you something new. Treat yourself well and have yourself looking real fly on game day.
Kinger, I absolutely love it. Go out, support our friends over at Variety Sports by using that promo code at our friends' Home Field Apparel store right here in Indianapolis, but they are online, of course. Guys, let's get right into it. We built it up enough. Nate, you're our featured guest. This is your team. I know the Vegas line is not on the side of Oklahoma, but what do you make of this game? The Red River Shootout. We have Oklahoma, Texas, the Texas State Fair in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. Everything that we want. This has the makings to be a great one, Nate. Take it away. What's your analysis?
Yeah, I think if you look at it, just when splitting it up by OU's offense versus Texas' defense, and then coming back and looking at it the opposite way, starting with OU, when OU has the ball, I think OU is going to struggle running the ball. They've struggled running the ball all year long already, right? Their yards per carry for the season is right at 4.0, right? And that's, you know, they haven't played the strongest schedule. They haven't played the toughest opposition yet. They're still struggling to run the ball. Even some of those softer opponents that they played, they have not created big lanes. They have not, no running back has separated themselves yet. So to me, it's not a question of can OU run the ball. It's, I don't think they'll be able to run the ball. So the question to me is, can OU generate enough just from the passing offense, right? It's really going to be on Dylan Gabriel's shoulders to generate the offense in this game. They do a lot of the quick stuff, swing passes and screen passes as like an extension of the running game. That stuff works pretty decently, but it still just doesn't give me as much confidence as being able to line up and run straight at somebody, right? You still got to rely on a receiver to catch a ball 20 yards away from the quarterback, even if it's along the line of scrimmage, even if it's an easy catch. So can OU generate enough in just the passing game, the downfield passing game? So far, it's been really good. It's been really effective. Dylan Gabriel has been pretty lights out. Definitely a step forward from last year. Very consistent. Even when he, you know, completes like 80% of his passes, he'll be good for one or two just overthrows in the game. He'll just totally miss some open receivers. But beyond that, he has been very effective this year. And the receivers have really stepped up. Well, there was not a true number one receiver coming into this season. Andrell Anthony has started to take that spot for OU. But even the other receivers, Drake Stoops, Nick Anderson, a lot of the different guys are stepping up, making competitive catches, becoming reliable weapons in the receiving game. So can OU generate enough offense just passing the ball? I think you look at Texas's defensive line, Tavondre Sweat, it's a mountain of a man. You can't move that. That man's not going to go anywhere he doesn't want to go, right? OU's interior offensive line is going to struggle to move him. So I think really watching to see, can OU be effective enough in the passing game? I think when OU is on defense, Texas has a lot of weapons all over the place, right? Running back Jonathan Brooks, you got Xavier Worthy, they've got Adonai Mitchell, they've got Jatavion Sanders. I mean, they've got the players to cause problems. OU's defense has been definitely improved in year two under Brent Venables, but they try to cause a lot of havoc and chaos, and sometimes that ends up backfiring, right? I think there's going to be spots where Texas can make big plays. Can Quinn Ewers capitalize when those spots come open, right? Can he make a defender miss and then hit an open receiver? I think he can, right? I think we've seen enough of that. It's got me a little bit worried, to be honest.
Yeah, Nate, I don't disagree with anything that you said there. And I like hearing it from someone who's watched every second of the Oklahoma season so far, because even with my TV setup, I can't always pay absolute attention to every single team every single week. That's what I have the model for. It sees all and it filters out the bias the best that we can. For me in this game, guys, it is the game of the week. As I talked about, it's possibly the game of the year. It has a watchability score of 9.8. That's number two on my list of best regular season games all year, currently behind only Penn State at Ohio State in week eight. Before I dive into the predictive elements, because that's what we need to evaluate as we're trying to talk about this game and predict who's going to win, I want to take a quick look at the resumes because they're both very impressive. Texas is my number one team in my most deserving rankings. That's thanks largely to the win in Tuscaloosa earlier this year. There's only a 9% chance that the average top 25 team would be 5-0 against the Longhorns schedule. That's number one in the entire country. Furthermore, Texas has outscored its opponents by 11.1 points per game more than would be expected of the average top 25 team against the Longhorns schedule. That's sixth best in the country. All told, Texas has 1.1 more wins than projected through 5 weeks. On the other side, the Sooners are number seven in my most deserving rankings. Oklahoma's outscoring its opponents by 18.4 points per game more than would be expected of the average top 25 team against that schedule. That's number one in the country. And while Oklahoma's schedule difficulty can rightly be questioned, as Nate alluded to there, there is still just a 50% chance that the average top 25 team would be 5-0 against the Sooner schedule. Guys, there's really no two ways about this. These two teams, what they've accomplished to date relative to what would be expected, is outstanding. That in and of itself is reason enough to be excited about this game, but the predictive elements make it even more attractive. This is why it's the number two game of the entire year for me. I actually have Oklahoma -1.5, guys. It makes me a little nervous, but that's what the model's saying right now. It's a 55% win expectancy for the Sooners. No team has been upgraded by the model more during the season than Oklahoma. The Sooners are up 9.9 points compared to the preseason. They've risen from number 14 to a season best, number two in my power ratings. I have Oklahoma all the way up to number two. They've been that good during the year. As expected, the offense has been terrific. They've risen from number 9 to number 5. That's number 1 in the Big 12. But it's the defense, as Nate said, that's impressed me the most relative to the expectations. They've risen from number 40 in the preseason to number 15 currently. That's second best in the Big 12 behind, you guessed it, the Texas Longhorns. So other than this game, my numbers favor Oklahoma by at least 17 points in each of their remaining regular season contests. Guys, that's significant. Somebody who doesn't follow me, but somebody was like, I know you're not making lines here, but I'd take the opponent and the points against every single one of your future spreads. And I'm like, okay, well, thanks for contributing to the conversation, buddy. I guess good for stopping by. That's what the numbers say. The numbers say outside of this game, Oklahoma is favored by at least 17. It's absolutely ridiculous. They've been looking great all year, and I expect them to look good, if not great, in this game. For Texas, I'm already a believer in this. The model already believes. But this week can 100%, beyond doubt, cement the notion that, quote, Texas is back if they get the win in this game. I have Texas power rated number 6 nationally. That's right where I had them to start the preseason. Similar to Oklahoma, it's the offense that's been as good as expected. They rank number 8 right now. That's second in the conference. And also similar to the Sooners, the Longhorns' defense has been even better than we projected. They came into the year number 16. They're now number 4. That's best in the Big 12. Other than this game, my numbers make Texas a favorite of at least 11 points in every remaining game. So guys, that's why the winner of this game is so set up to have the inside track, not just to Arlington, but honestly to the CFP, because this is the biggest test for both teams, and it's really not that close. It's college football. We see upsets every single week. Neither one of these teams will be immune to that, but they are in a very good position with a win here, either one of these teams. Bottom line, I have Oklahoma -1.5. It's a 45% chance that Texas holds on to its number one most deserving rankings. But guys, like I said, I have to say, my gut tells me that Texas is the better team, even though the model doesn't say that. We'll see where I go in the pick 'em later. But as things stand, Oklahoma has an 82% chance to make it to Arlington with a win. That bumps all the way up to a 94% chance, almost a virtual lock to make it to the Big 12 championship game. With a loss, they still have the second best odds in the Big 12, but it drops to a 67% chance. Currently, Texas is at 69%. If they win, it jumps to 87%. If they lose, it falls to 56%, but that's still second best. The winner here is the favorite. The loser here has the number 2 best odds. Kinger, that was a lot of numbers I just threw at you. What do you make of this game?
A lot of numbers, and I don't have a whole ton to add to what you guys went through here because I have very similar viewpoint on this game. I mean, you got two very good offenses this one, Oklahoma coming in at number 9, Texas 17. But as you guys talked about, I really think that the story to this game is going to be the defenses. And I actually like this to be a defensive game. I mean, we talked about OU, how bad they were last year. They bring in 7 top 300 ESPN defensive recruits, historically been the problem in Norman, that haven't really been able to be good enough defense to carry them into the season. I like what Venables is doing here, as I said early in the show. In Texas, they are a good offensive team. They have been a little bit spotty offensively at times. I like this offensive line. I don't think it's elite, but I do think there are going to be opportunities to move the ball in this one. And like Nate said with OU, I'm really not sure how effective Texas is going to be running the ball. I think they're a decent team, but they don't have quite that same pop in the running game that they did last year with Bijan. Now, the wide receiving core for Texas, he mentioned some of those players. This is a great group, and they're going to need to produce this week. You look at that OU secondary. They are tied for the lead right now in the nation in interceptions with 10 and have not allowed over 250 yards in a game this season. I'm looking at that matchup. Ewers is going to be able to make in those throws. He's going to need to be smart with it, right? Those guys are ball hawks, so that's a matchup I look forward to watching. And I really think the difference in this game is I do like Texas' defense a little bit more, particularly against the run. Nate already mentioned the OU 4 yards per carry this year. That Texas defensive front, they're big, they're nasty. They are a big reason why they've been successful thus far this year. So a lot of this is going to be on Dylan Gabriel's shoulders. I do expect them to have some opportunities versus that Texas secondary, some shots down the field. But overall, I do like Texas in this one. It's a really great matchup across the board. I'll give my official pick, but I'll go ahead and say I'm definitely leaning Longhorns in this one.
It's going to be such a good game, guys. I cannot wait. My only complaint about this game is that it's at noon Eastern, the same time my Ohio State Buckeyes play. King, you know this. It takes a lot for me to move Ohio State off the main screen. I'm going to tell you guys what. Ohio State's not going to be on the main screen this Saturday. This game, the Red River Shootout, takes priority. When you have a game that has a 9.8 on the watchability scale, that's going to be the number one game for me. Hopefully the Buckeyes perform against Maryland. We'll have it on one of the side TVs, but it doesn't get the prime slot for this one. That'll be OU and Texas. Guys, the number 2 game in my watchability scores this week is in the SEC West. It's Alabama at Texas A&M. I asked for this game to be on the card, so I will talk about it first. It starts with Alabama for me. Despite a power rating rank of a very respectable number 4 nationally, this 2023 version of the Crimson Tide is not Nick Saban's best. It's really not close to Nick Saban's best. In fact, the last time Alabama's power rating was worse than it is right now was 2008. That was Nick Saban's second year in Tuscaloosa. However, Alabama doesn't need to be better than the previous versions of itself. It only needs to be better than the teams on its schedule. And by the numbers, That's exactly what Alabama is, or at least projected to be. I have them favored by at least 8.5 points in every remaining game outside of this week in College Station. The Tide's defense is currently the stronger of the two units. They began the season number 9. The defense then fell to number 19 following the loss at home to Texas, but it surged to number 5 nationally now following games at USF, home to Ole Miss, and at Mississippi State, giving up just 3, 10, and 17 points respectively in those games. Meanwhile, the Alabama offense entered the year number 4. They rose to number 2 following the 56-7 win against Middle Tennessee in week 1, but it has since fallen to number 20. This is the offense national unit rank, down to number 20. The Crimson Tide are still outscoring their opponents by 7.7 points per game, more than would be expected of the average top 25 team against this Alabama schedule. That relative scoring margin ranks number 9 nationally. But when the standard is national championships, some will question if number 9 is good enough in Tuscaloosa. In the preseason, I had Texas A&M power rated 16. I projected 4 wins for the Aggies through 5 weeks. Currently, A&M is number 16 in the power ratings, and they are 4-1 on the season. The Aggies have performed almost exactly as the model predicted to this point. There is one notable variation from the preseason projections, though. I projected this Bobby Petrino-led offense to be number 49 in the country. Guys, through 5 games, the Aggies have averaged 38.6 points per game against teams with an average power rating rank of number 65. That's not great, but that's better than a lot of other teams through 5 games this season. In the process, A&M's offense has improved to number 21. You pair that with the nation's number 6 defense and exclude the kind of weird 2020 COVID season, this is the best Aggie team we've seen since Johnny Manziel led A&M to a number 3 finish in my power ratings in 2012 on his way to winning the Heisman Trophy. Guys, my numbers project Alabama to win this game by 5.5. It's a 35% chance that A&M earns the upset win at home in this one. This is the number 13 game in my watchability scores in terms of the 2023 college football regular season. So I'm excited about this one. It's going to be good. Alabama's my favorite in the West. They currently have a 63% chance to make it to Atlanta. With a win, that jumps to 75%. With a loss, it falls to a 40% chance. For A&M, they're second right now in the West, 14% chance to make it to Atlanta. If they win, it jumps to 32%. If they lose, it drops all the way to 5%. Zach, what do you make of Alabama at A&M? I know you love yourself some Crimson Tide.
Love me some Crimson Tide. And I just want to start. I was on Twitter today, and our buddy Stats of War, who puts out his great game projections, he actually tweeted that this was the first time in the history of his stat sheets that he has projected Bama to lose a game outright. And I will say, I'm not going to be surprised if that happens this week. I anticipated Bama to be undefeated going into this one, but I said at the beginning of the year on our preseason show that I thought this would be Bama's hardest test this year. And A&M, they have righted the ship a little bit after a tough loss to Miami in week 2. They took care of 2 SEC opponents thus far, and they're actually still in a fortunate position. They are yet to play a true road game in the SEC. Now, the quarterback position, that's going to be questioned here. The news last week, Connor Wegman done for the year with a foot injury. So the reins have been passed along to LSU transfer Max Johnson, who's in his second season with the Aggies. I mean, this guy's a vet. He's got plenty of experience to him. He's got playing time the last 3 seasons, 3-1 as the Aggie starter last year. So far, been solid in the action he's seen thus far this year. Now, he sometimes makes some poor decisions, a little bit quick to get through, get rid of the ball. So I do like the Alabama defense to put some pressure on him. But in my opinion, the Alabama defense has slipped by their standards, right? This is a top 20 unit. I don't think we have the same dominant Alabama defense that we've been so accustomed to. Some of my Bama friends say differently, but outside of Dallas Turner, I really don't think this front 7 is quite as talented as years past. They've allowed some pretty decent game rushing opponents to some of their opponents this year, and A&M has been a team that has had some success running the ball. You look at their last 2 games, they're ranked 62nd nationally in the run game, but this is a balanced offense. You look at 2 teams with top 40 run defenses with Arkansas, or a team with Arkansas and Auburn with 2 top 40 run defense, they put up over 200 versus Auburn last week. So I do think the Aggies are going to be able to run the ball. Max Johnson can't be afraid to take some shots down the field. And I'm just questionable on where we're going to see Bama have success on the offensive side of the ball. This is a top 5 A&M defense. Alabama boasts a sub-100 passing offense. This is a top 10 A&M secondary. I mean, I'm just not seeing it. I don't think Alabama's going to be able to run the ball too efficiently. So they're going to absolutely have to rely on their defense in this game. I am leaning A&M in the points with this one. I'm still – undecided as who I'm going to pick to win in the pick'em. I actually have still not clicked the team yet, so we're going to see what happens here in a little bit.
We got about 15, 20 minutes, King. I don't know. We're going to be getting to it here before too much longer. But, Nate, let's get you back in here. What do you make of this great SEC West game? Right there, not too far from Dallas in College Station as the Alabama Crimson Tide come to town.
Yeah, Zach mentioned the Stats Award tweet earlier. I sent that tweet to my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law is an Aggie.
Oh, so
he said, get that rat poison out of here. I think looking at the A&M offense, I think Zach said balance, right? They 200 yards on the ground, 200 yards passing last week against Arkansas. Max Johnson, not as talented as I think Connor Wigman, right? Doesn't have the same ceiling, but I think he looks comfortable in the offense, right? He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. And I think he's a little bit of better runner too. So he adds a little bit there as well. Stacked group of weapons on the A&M offense with Le'Veon Moss at running back, Anaya Smith, Evan Stewart, Moose Muhammad, right? They got weapons, right? I think they will be able to generate some offense against the Alabama defense. I think when Alabama's on offense, A&M's on defense, you look at those all the five-star guys that A&M has on that defensive line, that defensive front. They've got some dudes who can play. I think they, to Zach's point, right, it's going to be hard for Alabama to run the ball. I think Jalen Milroe is going to be running for his life a little bit back there, right? So, I'm definitely leaning Aggies here, I think is where I'm leaning. We'll see about the confidence pick later.
I love it. Tease that confidence pick. Well, Nate, now I have to ask, as Kyle Umlang's been another one that we've had on the podcast before. He has a book, or books, I should say now, about Aggie facts. Tell me you've got the brother-in-law, the Aggie fact book from Kyle, or books.
I try to go easy on the brother-in-law.
All right. Fair enough. If he ever rubs you the wrong way, or if A&M ever gets the better of Oklahoma down the road as they become conference foes once again, you've always got that in your back pocket. King, I'm going to come to you first on this one. This is a game you asked for. I think it's really intriguing. We're not going far. We're staying in the SEC, but we're going over to the East Division, where we've got a couple undefeated teams squaring off this weekend. King, we have Kentucky going on the road to Georgia. You asked for it, King. We're going to start with you. What do you make of this game in Athens?
Yeah, these are two teams we've talked about a few times already in the pod this year. Probably only one or two left for both of them. I mean, the UGA-Florida game, that's one that's probably going to be on the ballot. We'll see about Kentucky-Tennessee. But the reason why I picked this is because I do want to talk about this Kentucky team a little bit, because they've really bounced back nicely this year. They're carried by a really good defense. They've been exceptional against the run this year. And I mean, you look at this Georgia team that's been tested almost weekly here, and I think these Wildcats can be a little bit frisky down in Athens this week, right? So UGA, they've been a team that's really struggling to get consistent production in the run game. And this is a matchup that I like Kentucky in this one. I read a very interesting article this week on Dog Central regarding the play calling on the run scheme for the Georgia Bulldogs. And it basically focused on the gap versus zone runs. If you look at the last couple of years, they've been very successful because they had balance. This year, it's been primarily zone runs. And they are attributing that to some of the issues that they have had in that run game. So last week, you look at this, they put the game on Carson Beck's shoulders. He delivered after being down on the road at Auburn. This is still a top 10 Georgia passing offense. Kentucky, they replaced a decent amount in the secondary from the last couple of years. Sub 60 unit right now, haven't really been able to lock down teams in this area by any means. So I think Georgia's going to have to win this game in the air. The offensive line is going to need to pass protect, because again, we talk about that front seven with Kentucky. I think they're going to make it difficult to run the ball, and I think they are going to be able to get after Carson Beck in this one. So the question for Kentucky here is are they going to be able to get enough offensive production in this one? So you look at this team, they like to run the ball. They had a massive game on the ground last week, putting up over 300 yards versus Florida, including a career-high 280 from Ray Davis. UGA defense, top two unit against the run the past few years. They've slipped all the way down to 40th, not quite as dominant in the trenches this year. Kentucky has built that offensive line back up, and I think that Georgia defense is going to have their hands full. Now, Kentucky, you look at Devin Leary, NC State transfer, and he just really can't beat himself on this one. Interceptions are definitely a little bit of a problem again with him this year. He's got a solid wide receiver crew led by Tavion Robinson. The UK passing game is definitely going to have to give them something in this one if they want to have any chance to win. So ultimately, if this game was in Lexington, I would put Kentucky as having a real shot at winning this one. I love the 15 points they're getting, so I am going to bet this one, and I do think this is going to be a close game, at least for, I'd say, 2.5, 3 quarters, the way Kentucky's been playing. I think they match up pretty well against Georgia in this one.
I love King's opening line, the Frisky Wildcats down in Athens. How about that? Nate, let's come to you next in this one. King just gave us a bunch of good information. What do you make of this game, a big showdown in the SEC East?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Zach had to say. I think so Rob Bowron is one of the guys who runs one of the rating systems, the beta rank system that is part of the composite ratings that I put out. He's been tweeting a lot this week about really the offensive coordinator hires at both Alabama and Georgia, right? And what that has done to bring their ceilings down a little bit offensively, right? Neither one has been super inspiring. I think Mike Bobo seems to be a clear drop down from where Todd Monken was doing schematically, just creatively, right? Todd Monken was getting those great athletes out into space a lot. Mike Bobo's not quite doing that, right? He's a lot more straightforward looking at an offense watching Georgia these days. So I think the formula is pretty simple for Kentucky on defense. It's stop the run and can you contain Brock Bowers, right? Brock Bowers absolutely killed Auburn last week when the game came down to it. I was trying to explain to my wife how good Brock Bowers was. It feels like he's like a all-pro NFL tight end who just has to be playing college football right now, right? So I think he's a big-time weapon. Just don't let him kill you single-handedly, right? Try to make some of those other players, some of those other receivers step up and make plays. I think that's the formula for Kentucky on defense. And then, yeah, Kentucky on offense, can Devin Leary play a clean game? That's the big question on that one. I think Kentucky's a better team than Auburn was, and we saw Auburn give Georgia trouble last week. So it's definitely one to keep an eye on.
I love it. I love the Brock Bowers commentary too there, Nate. I remember in the preseason in the summer, I did a NFL mock draft for somebody. I represented the Colts and we had like the number 4 pick. I contemplated Brock Bowers at number 4. Like, that's how good I think Brock Bowers is. He's someone I mentioned in the preseason for, if you know, someone other than a quarterback is going to win the Heisman Trophy, he's maybe the best player on, at the time, what I thought was maybe the best team. He's someone that, you know, if the Heisman voters want to do something different, something they haven't done before, vote for a tight end. Like, Brock Bowers is that good. So I you're right. He's looks like an all-pro NFL tight end, if nothing else, at least at the college level, given the competition he's playing. Great game last week, and we expect more of the same. For me, guys, I have Georgia minus 15.5 in this one. It's an 87% win expectancy. While Georgia might be number 1 in the AP poll, I have the Bulldogs number 10 in my most deserving rankings. They currently grade out with a number 11 record achievement, the number 13 scoring margin. So, listen, Georgia's a good team. They have a pretty decent resume at this point. But they should not be number 1, really, no matter how you slice this. The only reason they're number 1, in my opinion, is they're the 2-time defending national champions, and they haven't lost a game yet in 2023. But if we're ranking teams on what they are in 2023, power rating or resume ranking, I do not have the Bulldogs number 1. From a power rating perspective, Georgia has been downgraded a full touchdown since the preseason, guys. That's the 5th largest decrease in power ratings in the FBS. Baylor and Pitt are the only Power 5 teams whose power rating has fallen farther this season. Georgia is currently power rated at season lows across the board. 7th overall, 12th on offense, and 9th on defense. In the preseason, there wasn't a single regular season game in which my numbers made Georgia a single-digit favorite. Now, the Week 11 game in Athens against Ole Miss and the Week 12 game in Knoxville both have projected spreads of not just single digits, but of a touchdown or less. It's fair to question the schedule difficulty for Kentucky to date, as the Wildcats jumped out to a 5-0 start. It's their first 3-game winning streak against Florida in more than 70 years, which is very impressive and something that Wildcat fans should be very proud of. While Kentucky has 0.8 more wins than projected to this point, The schedule gets real starting this week, guys. There are only two remaining games. That's versus Missouri next week and at Mississippi State in week 10, in which my numbers project Kentucky as a favorite. With the number 12 defense nationally, Kentucky does present the stiffest test that Georgia has or will face on that side of the ball throughout the whole regular season. The offense has been better than expected for Kentucky. They've risen from 63 to 47, but my model expects that to just be too big of a mismatch in this game, and that's likely to be the difference, plus the fact that this one's in Athens. It's just not enough points in this one for that Kentucky offense based on what my model is spitting out. Bottom line, I have Georgia minus 15.5. It's a 13% chance that Kentucky takes the lead in the SEC East standings. Currently, my numbers assign Georgia a 79% chance to make it to Atlanta. If they win, that rises to 83%. If they lose, it falls down to 56%. So Georgia loses this game. It's just about 50-50 that they're going to be the representative in Atlanta. For Kentucky, right now they have an 8% chance. A win would bump them all the way up to a 28% chance. Still far behind Georgia, but that's because of the, you know, projections moving forward and the power ratings of these teams. With a loss, Kentucky has just a 5% chance. Guys, we have one more feature game to get to. It is the fans' pick of the week. So basically, you know, Kinger picks a game, I pick a game, we let our guests pick a game, and then we say, all right, what are the four remaining games that have the highest watchability score in my watchability metric? Let's put it out to a Twitter poll. Let's let the fans, let's let the listeners vote on which game do they want us to discuss. There were some good games included in this one. The one that the fans wanted us to talk about, guys, none of us are SEC homers. Nate, I guess you're going to change that for us next year as Oklahoma makes the transition. But King and I, we didn't grow up in the South. We don't root for SEC teams. We respect what the SEC is. This is going to be our third featured game from the SEC. The fans wanted to hear about it, Nate. Let's start with you. It is LSU at Missouri, a cross-divisional game here in the SEC.
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, one of the things I tweeted this week about the composite ratings, looking at things by conference, is the SEC has seen the majority of its teams actually decline in the composite ratings since the preseason, right? 11 out of 14 teams have fallen in
King's loving that, Nate, by the way. King is loving it.
You try to talk to any SEC fan about that, they think that's the most obscene, outrageous thing that you could possibly say.
Nate's got the cold, hard facts, guys. Listen to him. He says they're down. They're down. There's really no two ways about it. Sorry, Nate. Go ahead. I had to let King get in there because I could just tell he was loving it.
I mean, they're down, but they're still the number one conference by a healthy margin. But they are definitely.
And there it is.
They're definitely down. Definitely still feel the future SEC. I think I was glad that we picked this, that the fans picked this game to talk about, actually, because I wanted to dig into Missouri a little bit. I have not had a chance to watch Missouri play. I don't have the 5 screen set up at home like some other people do. So we just got the one screen, like, you know, some normal folks. So I've not had a chance to watch Missouri play. I wanted to dig in and learn a little bit more about them. I think, looking at the Missouri offense, right? They do a lot of good stuff. Brady Cook has had 3 straight 300-yard passing games. He's got 11 touchdowns on the year, 0 interceptions. Luther Burden is a certified stud. He's got at least 96 yards receiving in every single game. Missouri's been, I think, pretty solid. Their signature win is a 3-point home victory over Kansas State, a pretty solid Kansas State team. So that one was surprising to me that they won that game when that happened. But beyond that, they haven't been super impressive. They got a 3-point win at home against a 4-point win at home against Middle Tennessee State, 7-point win at home against Memphis. They beat Vandy by 17 last week. Like, they're solid. They don't look like world beaters, but I think they have enough to make LSU pay if LSU does not show up, right? To me, the real story of this game is how does LSU bounce back after giving up 700 yards to Ole Miss last week, right? I think if you look back to LSU a little bit last year, it's kind of analogous to last year, right? They had a big loss to Tennessee, I think, last year. They fell to like 4-2. Kind of seemed like things were going off the rails. And they rebounded well. They came back and won the SEC West. They beat Alabama last year, right? So how does LSU bounce back? They had a couple of tough losses early in the season. I think we will find out what this LSU team is made of. It's going to be kind of a character, show me your character type of game. But we saw them bounce back last year. I expect them to bounce back again here.
700 yards, Nate. It's absolutely incredible. Historically bad performance for this defense. I'm going to get to the LSU defense in a second. But guys, first, on the surface here, two loss, unranked SEC team on the road at undefeated number 13 in my most deserving rankings, not in AP poll, SEC team. On the surface, you'd assume that the undefeated home team is the favorite, but this is a classic rating versus ranking game. I have LSU minus 8.5, despite being the two-loss road team here. It's a 73% win expectancy. At number 14 in the power ratings, LSU is my highest power-rated two-loss team. They are one spot ahead of two-loss Clemson. The offense has been genuinely awesome this year. They rank number 4 nationally, but the defense, which I talked about last week before picking Ole Miss to win that game outright, continues to be an issue. We talked about the 700 yards. Guys, the LSU defense is now an astonishingly bad number 73 in my unit rankings. They came into the year number 14. This team is number 73. There is way too much talent on this unit to be ranked that poorly. Yes, LSU's played two top 15 offenses away from home, it should be noted this year. It doesn't matter. The talent, the depth, LSU should not be that bad on the defensive side of the ball. And more bad news for the Tigers, they have 0.9 fewer wins than expected compared to my preseason expectations for the number 5 power rated team. That's number 109 nationally. The good news for LSU, since I've been piling on here, Missouri is an Ole Miss. And I'm sorry, Tiger fans, you're not. They're boosted by a home win at home against Kansas State, like Nate talked about, the neutral site win against Memphis. Missouri is number 13 in my most deserving rankings. They have a solid resume. They have one that deserves to be ranked in the top 15. There's only a 45% chance that the average top 25 team would be 5-0 against the Tiger schedule. That's number 9 nationally. Missouri has 1.3 more wins than expected through week 5. That's number 15 on my overachievers list. That's all great. But from a predictive side, Missouri is number 36 nationally. They have the number 30 offense and the number 29 defense. Even with 5 wins already on the board, my numbers are projecting just 7.6 average regular season wins for the Tigers. Like, my model thinks the Tigers are going to score some points in this game. And the fact that this game is in Columbia gives Missouri a puncher's chance. But LSU is the stronger team. If the defense can just like try to show up for the game and do what they can to not blow this one, I think LSU gets the win. Bottom line, I have LSU minus 8.5. It's a 27% chance that Missouri is one of only two remaining undefeated SEC teams after this weekend. LSU with a win would jump to a 13% chance to win the division. Missouri with a win would jump to a 7% chance. Neither one of these teams are the primary contenders, given the strength of Georgia in the East and the fact that LSU already has a loss in the conference play and still has to travel to Alabama later in the year. King, what do you make of LSU at Missouri?
Yeah, Nate said he was excited to talk about this one. Me, not so much. The SEC fans definitely dominated and got a hold of poll this week, but that's okay. You were a little bit kind with your words on that LSU defense, Kelly, and I'm just going to flat out say it. Their defense stinks. Like, they stink. And it's unfortunate for Tiger fans because that offense is extremely legitimate. They're very talented, but they are playing with their hands tied behind their back with the defense and how it's looked thus far this year. And you look at Brian Kelly, that seat, I wouldn't say it's warm yet, but he's already positioned where he's getting a lot of shots thrown at him. And I'm looking to see if he's going to be able to get his team motivated this week, because it's basically the season. In Missouri, they've been a team, they've been battling in just about every game they've played. Drinkwitz was a guy that was probably on the hot seat coming this year. I think that's cooled down a little bit with this 5-0 start. He needed to perform well, not only, I think, to keep his job, but he's also got a really good recruiting class coming in with some high-name players, and I think he needed to have some success to make sure that they stay committed. So nothing's really been easy for the Tigers thus far. I don't have a ton to say on this one. I think we are going to get a similar game to what we saw in Oxford last week with a lot of points. I think Missouri has a little bit better defense than Ole Miss, but I expect points in this one. So Missouri defense has done enough to make some stops late in the game, but they haven't played anyone near as dangerous as this LSU offense, top five unit in the country. Missouri been susceptible in the secondary versus the pass this year. 90th ranked unit, 125th in the country, allowing 55 passes of 10 plus yards or more. So that does seem like it could smell a little bit of trouble with that LSU offense and Jaden Daniels. So I like LSU to be able to move the ball and score in this one. So I said that Missouri likely going to be able to do the same. They're also boasting a top 15 passing offense. LSU secondary, not good thus far this year. And I think the biggest thing for Brady Cook is he's been taking care of the football. No interceptions thus far this year after throwing seven last year. Should be a big day for him and both of these QBs. So I'm with you, Kelly. I like LSU in this one. I'm going to actually take Missouri and the points, but I think LSU is going to have enough here, do enough here to win this game. So SEC schedule, I think, is going about to take a little bit of a toll on Missouri. This is a winnable game for them. It's going to be close, but I like the Tigers.
It's another thing about October, King, as we turn the calendar into this month. So many of these fan bases still have so much hope for their team because of the schedules they played or whatever. Missouri fans definitely, I think, are in that boat. They're getting after me a little bit for not showing enough love to Missouri, you know, whether it's in the rankings, the ratings, the chances to win the SEC, the chances to make the CFP. I just got to see a little bit more from Missouri, and we're definitely going to start with this week's game against LSU. All right, guys, those were our four featured games. Absolutely loved that conversation. Now we are transitioning into the ESPN Pick'em competition. Nate, as I think you know what we're doing here, we got the 10 ESPN Pick'em games. We're going to go in the order they're listed on the app. You assign confidence points 1 to 10. 1 is your least confident. 10 is your most confident. You use every number once. So something as simple as, yep, I'm taking Oklahoma. I'm taking them for 10 points, for example. And then I'll record this for everybody. We'll get the scoreboard posted, and we'll go from there. So, Nate, we're going to start with you on every game. Then we'll go to Zach. Then we'll come to me. I'll make all the notes, and we'll get this posted with the episode. So we're going to start right there, Nate. We're starting the first game that's listed. It's the first game we went over. It is Oklahoma. It is Texas. It is the Red River Shootout, everyone. Nate, what are you making this one? And I swear, if you don't go with where I think you're going to go, I'll be very disappointed.
This is me guarding my heart a little bit, right? I'm going to pick Texas with 7 confidence points on this one.
Nate, I can't believe you, man. Taking the Longhorns. All right. Hey, he's going with his head, not his heart. I can respect that as a numbers person. Kinger, what about you in this one?
I'm right there with Nate. I'm taking Texas for 7 as well.
You guys are killing me here. Like, part of me wants to do it too, because like deep down, I really do think that Texas is the better
team. But you're not going to, as you always say.
But I'm not going to, because King knows I'm not going to. Give me Oklahoma. I'm taking the Sooners, guys. I'm only going to take them for 1 confidence point here. Next game, another game we broke down, the one that we just recently did. Nate, let's hear it. LSU at Missouri. What's your confidence pick here?
Yeah, I'm expecting LSU to bounce back here at Missouri, so I'm taking LSU for 5 confidence points.
Kinger?
I have LSU for 5 confidence points as well. Nate and I are...
Man, look at you. Look at you, too. I'm going to take LSU as well, guys. I do this based on my projected spreads. I have this spread as 8.5. Give me LSU for 10. I have missed some 10-pointers this year. I wouldn't be shocked if I missed this one, but that's what the numbers say. That's what we're rolling with. Here's a game we didn't talk about. We've got Marshall going on the road to NC State. Nate, what do you think of this one?
Yeah, I'm actually – so I think NC State has been a little bit disappointing this year. I think they're benching Brennan Armstrong for this game. They're going to go with the backup, the young guy. I'm picking Marshall here with a little bit of an upset. I've only given it 1 point, but I'm picking Marshall to win. I'm in Raleigh right now. I'm calling you from Raleigh, so this is my hometown team these days, but I'm picking Marshall for the road upset here.
I got to know, Nate, is that what the composite's spitting out, or that's just you going with some feel and some vibes on this with NC State, going with, well, not the backup because you benched the starter, going with a different quarterback?
That's just vibes. That's just the NC State that I've watched this year has not been particularly impressive, and Marshall has been climbing in the ratings. So I'm gonna roll the dice here on Marshall.
Fair enough. I love it, Kinger.
Yeah, I'm gonna trust MJ Morris. Not too confident in this one, but they're a little bit higher than I would like. But I'm taking the Wolfpack for 6.
King, you said they're a little higher than you'd like. I would agree, and I'm even a little higher than you. I'm taking NC State. I'm taking them 4-7. Guys, here's a game that was included in the poll to let our listeners, let our fans pick which game we wanted to talk about. I would have been okay talking about this one. Washington State at UCLA, Nate. What do you think about this one out in the Pac-12?
Yeah, this will be a fun game to watch. I think Washington State has been a lot of fun this year. Right? Cam Ward is doing some really good stuff. More people need to be watching Cam Ward, what he's doing at Washington State. I'm taking Washington State. I could kind of see UCLA maybe bouncing back, so I'm only giving Washington State 3 confidence points on this one.
Kinger?
Yeah, I'm trusting the Bruins in this one as home dogs. I'm taking UCLA for 4.
I am also going to be on UCLA in this one. I'm going to take UCLA for 5 confidence points. And as I look back now at the scorecard to date, Nate and I have only agreed on 1 game. I love it. There is a lot of variety on the scorecard this week, which we don't always see. Another game that we talked about in depth, Nate, we're coming back to you. Alabama at Texas A&M.
Yeah, A&M has played Bama close the last several years running, right? They get up for this game. I think these teams are – A&M is trending the right direction, right? I think they've been developing some momentum. I'm picking A&M here. I'm only giving it 2 confidence points, but I'm taking A&M.
Kinger, what about you?
Yeah, I was definitely dyslexic and misread the last spread. UCLA is a home favorite. It doesn't change my pick at all. But
I wasn't going to say anything. I was like, wait, I got him as a 6-point favorite. No. Either I'm way off or we're messing up here. No, I was going to say there's some significant value.
I was dyslexic. That makes a lot more sense now. But I have made up my mind in this game. I think this is the best A&M team we've seen, as you talked about, Kelly. I'm going to take them outright to beat Bama for 3 confidence points.
Man, all right, guys, I'm either going to demolish you guys this week or I am going to get left in the dust. I'm on the other side. I've got Alabama. I'm going to take them for 4 confidence points. Kinger, here's one that's near and dear to the hearts of many of our listeners, you and me as well. Nate, we're going to the Big Ten West. Those of you out there who aren't fans of the Big Ten West probably don't get too excited about this game. We've got Purdue at Iowa. Nate, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I think Iowa is losing their starting quarterback, right? So it's going to be tough again on offense for Iowa, as it typically is, but I don't have any faith in Purdue here. So I'm taking Iowa with 8 confidence points.
Kinger?
I actually like the Boilers in this one. Nate mentioned Iowa down to backup quarterback Deacon Hill. I don't think they're going to get a lot of offensive production in this game. He did okay last week, but the Boilers defense plays well. I think they do have the ability to win this game. They've had some success at Kinnick, so give me Purdue for 1 confidence point.
I would have been disappointed if it was anything other than that for you, King. I'm going to take Iowa. I'm going to take them for 9 confidence points.
Gosh, this makes me want it even more this week now that you put them all the way up at 9.
I'm a slave to the model. What can I say? Guys, here's a team that's been really impressive relative to preseason expectations. We're going to the Sun Belt. Texas State, my number 1 overachiever to date this season. They're going on the road to Louisiana. Nate, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, Texas State has been a fun one to watch rise in the ratings, in the composite ratings. It's funny, the composite ratings, they move a little bit slower because you need all the rating systems to respond at the same time, right? So Texas State has definitely been one of the biggest risers in the composite ratings since the beginning of the year. I still think that a lot of the rating systems might be a little bit behind on Texas State, to be honest, just considering where they came from to how well they've been playing this year. So I'm taking Texas State for 6 confidence points here.
Kinger?
Yeah, Texas State getting on the map with that big win versus Baylor, but I'm going to take Louisiana at home for 2 confidence points.
I'm going to join you, King. I'm going to take Louisiana. I'm going to take them for 2 confidence points. Quick check here. Nate and I have only agreed so far on 2. King and I on a couple more, and then you guys have been in agreement on a few more than that. gosh, I love the variety. Here's another game that was in the poll this week. Honestly, this is the game I thought was going to get selected. It wasn't until I saw the final results that I said, oh, okay, we're changing it up here. We've got Notre Dame going on the road to Louisville, a game that should be really exciting. A lot on the line for both these teams still. Notre Dame, of course, lost to Ohio State. Louisville still undefeated on the year. A chance for the Cardinals to really boost the resume against the Irish here at home. Nate, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, it's a really interesting stretch here that Notre Dame has had, right? A lot of competitive games, a lot of road games last week and this week. I've not had a chance to watch Louisville, to be completely honest, so I don't know a lot about what the Cardinals have been doing. I see the record, but which is impressive, but I'm going to stick with Notre Dame because I've seen them be impressive so far this year, so I'm giving Notre Dame 9 confidence points.
Kinger?
Yeah, Jeff Brohm. Very impressed with what I've seen thus far. Louisville, team that's been battling, they've been scrappy. Didn't play particularly well versus NC State last week on the road. I do think they keep this competitive in this one, but ultimately I do think Notre Dame is going to be too much here, so I got them for 8 confidence points.
2 games in a row, I'm going to be right there with you, King. Give me Notre Dame for 8 confidence points. We are all on the Irish with big numbers. Let's go out to the Mountain West. Fresno State hits the road and goes to Laramie to take on Wyoming. Nate, who you got here?
Yeah, these are both a couple of interesting teams out west. Wyoming has been a little bit spicy in a few different teams, right? But Fresno has been really impressive as well. I've taken Fresno with 10 confidence points on this one.
King called the Wildcats frisky. Nate's calling the Bulldogs spice, or the Cowboys spicy. I love the adjectives we got going this week. King, what about you in this game?
Chalk it up to another one that I'm in agreement with Nate. Give me Fresno State for 10.
I'm going to go with you guys on Fresno. I'm not quite as confident. I'm going to take the Bulldogs for 3 confidence points. We have 1 game left, guys. Nate, it's in your conference, at least for now. It's TCU going on the road to Iowa State. It's a night game, I do believe, up there in Ames. Things can get weird at night in that city. Nate, what do you make about this game, TCU at Iowa State?
Yeah, 2 teams that I think have been a little bit disappointed in their performances so far this year. I'm taking TCU. I'm not super confident. I'm taking TCU for 4 confidence points.
Kinger?
Yeah, I'm way higher than I like on this, but especially after getting burned by the Horned Frogs last week, but I got TCU for 9.
I'm taking TCU too, King. They did burn us last week. I'm taking them for 6 confidence points. Guys, that wraps up the Pick'em competition segment. King, we've got 1 segment left, and of course, it is the best bets. You've touched on a few of them throughout the show, but just recap it for us and hit us with any new ones we haven't touched on. What are your best bets for week 6 in college football?
Yeah, we'll start with the SEC games. We talked about just about all of them tonight, the ones that I've placed bets on so far, but I do like Missouri to cover 6.5 at home. I'm going to take A&M plus 2.5. I picked them outright. Maybe I sprinkle money line on that, but if I'm going to pick them, I might as well bet them as well. I really like Kentucky getting 15 on the road. I could see that being a 10 to 13 point game, but I think Kentucky is good enough and they've got the scheme to keep that close with Georgia. The other game we talked about, I'm going to take under 60.5 in OU Texas. I think the defenses are going to be the feature of that game. 60 points is a lot. I don't think we're going to get to that number. I think both offenses are going to have their fair share of stalls in that game versus those 2 defenses. And the last one, I like Oregon State minus 9.5 on the road at Cal. Oregon State team, one that's really, I wouldn't say struggled, but they've had a couple down weeks here. I like them to bounce back versus the inferior opponent, Cal Bears, on the road this week.
Awesome, King. Make sure you get in on King's best bets there as we trend towards hopefully another good weekend of college football on that front. We know it's going to be a good weekend of watching these games. Nate, before we get out of here, thanks again for joining us. Really enjoyed this conversation. Really enjoy your perspective, your breakdown of the composite ratings. Just remind everybody one more time before we go, where can they find all of your great work?
Yep, it's pretty simple. It's CFB Nate on Twitter, and that's really the only place that you're going to find me. So thanks again for having me on, guys. I really appreciated this. This was a lot of fun, and yeah, thanks again.
Appreciate it. Everybody, go give Nate a follow. Go check out those visuals. It's really good work.
Absolutely, Nate. Couldn't agree with Kinger more on that one. Love your work, love your content, and have loved having you on. Best of luck to your Sooners this weekend. Since I'm the only one that picked them in the competition here, I'm certainly hoping that they can get the win and I can pick up a couple points on you guys in that. But until next time, this has been the We Hate Your Team podcast, a proud member of the BSN Collegiate Network. We'll be back, but until then, enjoy week 6 of the 2023 college football season.